Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West. It's great to come at you with another one of our Life by Life Wests. And today, Dr. Mary and I, my co-host, my partner in everything in life and health and bank accounts and all that other stuff, right? Welcome. Good to see you, Dr. Mary. We have a great guest on, and it's a friend that we actually met probably about a year ago or so in Nebraska. His name is Dr. Rodney White. Welcome to the show, Dr. Rodney.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Ron. I've been excited about this one.
Well, we're thrilled to have you, and I'm going to tell the audience just a little about you. We'll get more as we go in. You know, Dr. Rodney, you will hear that he is from Australia from his beautiful accent. He graduated from Macquarie University in Sydney, Australia in 2004, and he's got a wife, Mel, and she's originally from Nebraska. They've got two daughters, a seven-year-old and a one-year-old in just a couple weeks, and his family is very, very important to him. He's a family man. He's also has had a journey, obviously. He was in Sydney, Australia for about 6 years or so, something like that. And then he ended up moving to the States, and they went to Nashville and spent a year there and realized they wanted to be closer to family, to Mel's family. So they came to Papillion, Nebraska, which is right next to Omaha, which is right next to where our college is in Bellevue. They're all like within a few miles of each other. And that's where we got to meet. And Dr. Rodney has done amazing things on scaling businesses. Today, we really want to talk about business a lot because he just has a business mind that's just incredible. He's got four practices, right? Four. His main one is Sarpy, and they're all Sarpy chiropractic. He's in Sarpy County. That's where that word comes from. But he's got amazing practices, and his vision is to serve as many people as they can possibly serve. And that's why he's expanding the way he's expanding. He's doing a lot. He's on the board of the Nebraska State Association. He comes to the college, our college in Nebraska, LifeWest, and he lectures the classes there. President Circle member. He just gets involved, and he's involved in everything. He held one of our original open houses that we had, and when I went, I did 11 talks in 7 days or 6 days or whatever it was, or 5 days. I don't know what it was. And one was at your office, and we had a room full of people, and just anything he does to support chiropractic. And he's one of our supporters, but I'm one of your biggest fans, and I'm just thrilled to have you. So thanks. Let's jump into it, man. I want them to kind of hear about what's going on. Mary, you want to start?
Well, let me start. I have like so many questions in my head, but I want to start out with, because I'm curious about this, and I'm sure the audience will be too, how chiropractic found you? What's your story of how you got into chiropractic?
Yeah, I was born in 81, and in the 80s, supplements and Chinese medicine and herbs weren't a fad yet, but my mom somehow had gotten into it. And when he had sinus issues, she took me to the Chinese medicine doctor because she was already starting to understand that conventional isn't really about health. And around about the age of 5 or 6, she took me to her chiropractor. And every time I had a sporting injury, every time I had anything go wrong, I'd go there. And as I became a teenager, I was sort of deciding between chiropractic and, well, what we call physio or PT. And I met with both courses, and I liked the chiro course more. And then I thought, why is this even a decision? Because every time I go to the chiropractor, I'm back on the sporting field in like 2 or 3 visits. And every time I've done physio, I'm going for months and months and months. So to me, it was just a natural progression. But I really thought I wanted to serve the professional athlete population. And in my first clinic, one of my mentors did, like, we had the Australian rugby team, bunch of Olympians, and that was cool. And it was cool for your ego to see them on TV when you worked on them. But the appreciation you got from just regular Joe and regular Bob and regular Betty was, that's what really started to pull to me. And I thought, yeah, family practice is what I'm interested in.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I will tell you this, and I hate to admit it, but I graduated chiropractic school in 1981. So I guess I'm old enough to be your chiropractor, right? Your kind of thing when you were
born. Yeah.
But I want to share something with you that's pretty cool. And I think the Australians in the crowd will understand this, probably even the Kiwis. But if not, there's a cool story behind it. Mary, when you know, our good friend, you know, who passed in Australia, Peter Brock, you know that name, of course, right? Mm-hmm. So Peter was a big advocate of chiropractic. And for those of you that don't know that name, he was one of the top race car drivers ever in Australia, king of the hill, you know, just an amazing guy. He promoted chiropractic like you wouldn't believe. One of my best friends in school and best friends after school was Dr. Eric Dowker, practiced in Lower Plenty, just outside Melbourne, and he met Peter, and they just got like a pair. They just came together, and so you know, Mary and I and our family spent time with Peter in Australia at his farm, and anyways, there's some great athletes in Australia, and I got to tell you, man, the athletes that you guys have, you follow them like they are gods, aren't they? They really are.
Well, you've just got such a smaller population. I mean, the country's the same size as America, but we've got 6 or 7 million. And so we really cling to like these celebrities or athletes or movie stars because we feel like they're ours. And Brocky was one of those because he was that quintessential Australian just knockabout bloke. He wasn't big-headed. He wasn't arrogant. You felt like you could have a beer with him in the pub and everyone loved him. He was a phenomenal human.
Yeah, and you could have a beer with him in the pub, because he would have bought rounds. He's that kind of, you know. But let's speak to the leadership, because I really want to move into this business side. I mean, you really, and I know this because I've been at your practice, you really have the business side down. And I know in order to move a business, there's got to be leadership, right? And so share some of the things that you do around leadership and what you're doing in the chiropractic space, which could go to any space, actually, but, you know, what are some of the keys that people are, let's say, you know, just say, drop me some dimes on, you know, some pearls and wisdom on leadership?
Well, I guess my interest in that started when I knew my business wasn't systemized how it should be. And then I read the E-Myth book and this whole, even if you're not going to scale, you should grow it like you would grow a McDonald's. You need systems. That really spoke to me. And I thought, I wish there was a chiropractic one. And then sure enough, I find there was. And Dr. Savinsky, who's unfortunately passed away 10 years ago now, he wrote that. And I immediately called him and said, hey, I want to pay to be your friend. I want mentorship from you and your group, because I knew I was missing it. You don't learn it in school. Our business class was terrible. And I just knew that as chiropractors, we tend to have this, like, it's a chiropractic office, but it's really a business. It's a customer experience business. And so I think what he helped me do is flip my mind to look at that and go, well, how are things being systemized? And at the time, I didn't know I wanted to scale, but he said, grow it like you do want to scale it, because eventually you might want to step out, or what if you get injured or sick? And that really hit home. I thought, okay, so every single thing that happened in the office, I decided it needed a standard operating procedure. And that was miserable. For 2 years, I probably built out my operations manual when I felt like I was done. Then all of a sudden, because stuff's changed, it's really only 80% done. But that's about as good as it ever gets. But we have a rule in our business now that if we've changed or we're doing something, it should have something written out. It should have a Loom video. Basically, if the person whose role that is got hit by a bus tomorrow, could we bring someone else in and train them within a couple of weeks to be able to do that? And that was the underpinning rule. I think that passed on to a lot of the leaders as the company grew too, because they're the ones responsible for it. And so, hey, you need to automate and delegate. And if you're delegating, you better have it laid out in a way that's simple for someone to understand. Because if you train someone once, you didn't train them. It's something we do. It's not something we did is what we say about training. So, yeah, I think that E-Myth really got me started on it. And then I realized, why would I not get outside of the chiropractic profession and pick the brains of, I mean, I had access to, I just happened to, through circles, knew people who are worth $50 million or $100 million or $500 million. And I thought, they've obviously built a smoking business.
Yeah,
I want to learn. And some of the best stuff we've picked up has come from outside, like the culture stuff we do and measuring the NPS score and having the right vision, mission, values that we learned from Roy Williams and stuff like that. So,
wow,
Beautiful. You know, what you're talking about, you know, we actually do that at the college. We call it a legacy. And so everyone has to write their legacy as far as, you know, what they do, what their operating procedures are, and then they have to update it every 6 months, every 4 to 6 months, right? So it's not just like what I did before, and they let it go and things change. So they're constantly updating it. So same thing, someone can step in. But what I love that you said, and Mary, we used to always talk about this, you know, chiropractors notoriously, and rightfully so on some level, they build a personality-based practice, right? Because that's who we are, right? And, you know, we want to love them. We're usually single practitioners and da-da-da-da. What they don't realize is that, you know, personality-based practices, that's not where the referrals might start to come from there for a while, but they end after that, right? Because it's just like, oh, yeah, that's just Ron, Mary, Dr. Ron, Dr. Mary, you know, Dr. Roddy. But, you know, when you build a practice based on experience that you could step out of, that's a business. And it still runs, and it still grows, and it still grows, right? That is a business. And that's what I love about what you're doing, because, you know, your systems and your plans, what you have, your people, you know, I love it.
Well, in the personality piece, that's what really made me nervous, because I knew I'm a pretty high energy guy, and maybe not for everyone, but for the most part, I was able to, I had enough experience by this point to talk to people and be able to introduce them to chiropractic and let them know, look, it's safe. It's going to help you. You're not going to get ripped off in my office. And when I first then started thinking about, I need a new challenge, because that's just my brain. I'm not someone who could have been in practice for 40 years on my own, just knocking it away. That's just not who I am. And when I first brought on what we call a successor rather than the broken associate model, and it's too long to go into the difference in this call, but I realized I would start training him and he'd say, well, why did you do that adjustment? That breaks from the protocol. And when I'd catch myself saying, well, just intuitively, I knew to do that. It's like, whoa, that might work for me at 10, 12, 15 years experience, but that's not a system. That's not something I can teach someone. And if you teach them with the right system, they'll develop their own intuition over time. And that's what really hammered home to me that, okay, everything I do either needs to be reproducible or it shouldn't be done anymore. And we just took off from there.
Yeah.
So I have a question from something you just said, and I was already thinking this question. Do you feel like when you're hiring people, because you obviously have I'm assuming you have this awesome team. Do you look like, is there a right person out there, or do you feel like with your systems, anyone is trainable?
That's a great question. When we start our hiring process, and it's longer for the doctors than it is for techs, but we start with a very wide funnel. Will this person fit our culture? If they could, then they move on and we narrow it down as we go. I would definitely turn down an amazing person, an amazing chiropractor, an amazing anything, if I didn't think they were going to fit the culture. So to me, culture is more important, because I've had chiropractic techs, I've had chiropractors who don't fit the culture. And it's amazing how quickly that cancer can grow. And not because they're a bad person. I'm sure you guys had it in all your time in practice too. And you come to work one day and you realize, I can't even look this person in the eye. They need to go. And firing people's terrible. As Dr. Savinsky said to me, if you ever don't lose sleep over firing people, you shouldn't be in the people business. But you must protect your culture for the sake of your patients and your other stakeholders, which is your family, the other employees. And now that we're as big as we are, and I think we have 16 or 17 employees, it wouldn't be fair to keep someone on who is a cancer, for want of a better word, and it ruins everyone else's experience. That would be me just being selfish because I'm too cowardly to go and address this issue. And it doesn't mean you have to be rude and when you fire someone, but sometimes you have to say, look, this just isn't the right place for you. Let's help you work out what is.
Yeah, and absolutely. Absolutely. Mary, what's that saying?
Hire slow, fire fast.
Always. Always.
We learned that the hard way, because Ron and I would feel that somebody wasn't the right fit and we would just keep on.
Yeah, they'll turn the corner.
Rehabilitate them.
Exactly.
And it was always
just gotta adjust them. You know?
The turning point was the turning point was when I would walk in the office and I didn't want to be there because There was somebody there, like you just said, a cancer in the office. That's when I felt like this isn't fair to bring this energy into the office. Mm-hmm. So then Ron and I held each other accountable. So whenever we started complaining about an employee, it was either first it was train or don't complain. Mm-hmm. And when we realized, okay, the training's not working, it was like rock, paper, scissors. Who's letting this person go today?
That's great.
And our standard line, our standard line was, we think it's time for you to express your potential someplace else. And that's really, but the other piece was this, and you know, Mary and I have always said this, is that culture will eat strategy for lunch.
Oh,
every day.
Yeah.
You know, the best strategy, the best, you know, but if the culture isn't right, forget about it, you know? So the question I have for you is, how would you define your culture of Sarpy Chiropractic?
Well, our vision is to be the first choice. And that means a couple things. Number one, I want to be the first choice for patients, even for things that we can't help, but we'll triage them to the right place. But that way we know the person's going to have an amazing experience. And if the worst thing anyone ever says about our clinics is, yeah, I went to Sarpy Chiropractic, but that doctor couldn't help me, I can live with that. We can't fix everyone. But they should never say I was kept waiting, someone was rude, I had a bad experience. And that's what hurts the chiropractic industry. Unfortunately, whether we like it or not, we don't have many second chances at a first impression. And so unlike a dentist or an MD where people just say, well, they're all like this, or I'll just try another one. How many people have you met that tried chiropractic once and said, it doesn't work for me? And it's one of the three legs of the stool. Either they didn't get results, which we can live with, they didn't have clean and clear financial policies, so they got a surprise bill 6 months later, or they didn't have a good customer experience. One of those three legs is broken. And so I figure if we can be the first choice, we can guarantee two of those legs will be perfect and we'll get as close as we can to the results. But I also want to be the first choice where chiropractors are saying, that's where I want to work out of school, because I want to be able to serve people like that, where we're actually, we don't just say it, we're actually focused on patients first and serving them, because that's what it's about. The business takes care of itself if you look after the people.
Yeah, absolutely. So two things, or two or three, whatever you say, for your team on a customer experience level, you know, or almost like a Four Seasons, you know, Hyatt region, you know, Hyatt. What would you say that your team does, or that you guys have trained around to make that experience be amazing?
Well, it's funny you say Four Seasons. So I got the idea from them that we have a certain dollar amount where if a patient is unhappy about something, if that chiropractic tech can fix that immediately for under a certain dollar amount, they don't have to go to the chiropractor in that office. They just say, Ron, I'm so sorry that happened. Today's treatment is no charge, like whatever it is, right? Just deal with it, because eating a $50 or $100 thing to not have something big blow up is worth it every time. We also do a lot of what we call thank you economy that we got from Gary Vaynerchuk watching his stuff, where it's kind of like a game. So our team looks for things that let's say you were coming in as a patient and we know a lot about you guys, and you said, oh, it's our anniversary tonight. They're going to ask, what's your favorite restaurant? Where are you going? And we might call ahead and say, hey, you have an Oberstein party of two coming in at 7 o'clock. Here's our credit card. We want to pay for it. Or a kid talks about some toy or show he loves and it costs us $5. And so the team has a budget for their thank you economy in each office that they're actually meant to spend every month. And the brownie points that earns us with those people, not that we want to screw up, but we'd have to screw up a lot for those people to say, well, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
So rather than waste money on advertising on a billboard or in a tiny little thing in a magazine, I'd prefer spend money on intentional things, because that's what matters for people. So I'd say they're the two I'm probably most proud of. And like the Ritz-Carlton, every day every office discusses the same, either core value, vision, mission, or one of our We Believe statements. And that just keeps them locked in on it.
Wow.
Music to my ears.
I know. So kind of on that same vein, and then we can move on. How would your team, all of your team, how would they describe you as a leader? How would they describe your leadership value? And I want you all, and then the second part of that question is, like, how did you learn to lead this team? Was it trial and error, or was it like, I just want to pick your brain.
Yeah, lots of mistakes. And I still make lots of mistakes. I think they would say, I'm a very quick decision maker and action taker. And if you study the best leaders, they're very decisive. Now, it doesn't always mean my decisions are right, and I always value their opinion, but ultimately, I'm the key decision maker. So you can arm and ah for so long, but sometimes you've just got to jump and grow right. way down. I know if they were on this call, they'd say they feel like I have their back. That was what was probably the biggest turning point in my leadership, was making sure that taking my team out for like individually for lunch once a month and just saying, this isn't work related. Like, how are you? What's going on in life? Is it maybe a little work? Like, is there anywhere I can support you better? And just getting to know them on that deeper level. Cause I heard the old adage early in my career, be friendly, but not friends. And it's right to a degree. I would never go and complain about my spouse or my business or an employee to a team member. But I do want to know them personally. I want to know what makes them tick. I want to be able to do thank you economy for them. And what that did was opened up the door where I've had team members come to me to help them solve problems that are very personal that I would never have thought someone would. But it's because I created a safe space for them where they know I've got their back and they won't be judged. So I think that's the positives. I think they would say, I'm probably too quick at giving my opinion and maybe not listening as well as I could. So, of course, there's always a good and a bad, but they're works in progress.
But, you know, it's interesting because you touched on two things. And one is, you know, when you look at longevity of staff, of team members, right? Because I don't want to call them staff, but team members. And Mary, we had people with us for 15 years, 13 years. You know, I don't know what our longest employee was, but they would all say the same thing. It was a similar thing, what you just said. They knew that they could come to us for anything.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we'd always give it to them, but they knew that we would support them. Whether it's sometimes supporting them without giving them something. And then we had to buy a car for one of them that they paid us back with, right? And been with us a long time, right? And they, you know, it was a situation that we weren't worried about this person running off or doing anything like that. But it's when you're invested in them. And I think that's really what it is, you know, being invested in them. The same thing, it doesn't matter where we are in any job. When you're invested in them, they're invested in your business.
And well, if you want your team members to be invested in the customer, which for us is the patient, yeah, you better make sure they feel safe and loyal and rewarded and looked after. And because then you don't have to push them to take care of the patient. They just naturally, it's in their DNA because they feel that. And it's funny, you say you had some people 13 or 15 years, the industry standard's about 2.5 years. So you've beaten that by about 7 or 8 times. That shows you did something really well.
Yeah. But they also hook onto the vision. The second thing I'm going to say was they hook onto the vision.
Mm-hmm.
They hook onto the vision of what you have as a leader. And I have to tell you, what I've learned is that successful leaders, it's not about the right choices they make. It's about recovering from the choices that they make that don't go as well as they thought it would, right? And what they do around that and how they're able to recover or do whatever it is, or just switch gears and go in a different direction. It's okay to make, we're always gonna, as long as we're falling forward, and we used to teach our team, fall forward, make mistakes, but fall forward. Don't go backwards, you know, don't go, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, fall forward. And when you give them that space, and even for us, even for our viewers, you know, as leaders, you know, just fall forward. You know, it's okay. We learn more from our mistakes than we do from our successes, right?
Absolutely. And as the leader, as long as you're accountable for it, just don't palm it off. Just own it and admit it to your team. Hey, that was a bad choice, or I screwed up, or thank you for calling me on that. That mm-hmm. gives you then much more permission to be able to call them on something. Say, hey,
right,
we don't do this here. And I'm not berating you. I'm not yelling at you. But it's like, let's course correct and let's get back in the sandbox. And you have permission, much more permission to do that when they can come to you. And I've been called out many times. Hey, is something wrong? No, why? You seem like you're in a bad mood. It's like, oh, perception's reality. So I better fix my energy up. But thank you to my team. Yeah, thank you that you can come to me and do that. And they're not nervous to say, hey, do you need to start again? I'm like, I guess I do.
I love it. Roddy, share with us this, because we're kind of coming down to our time frame, but share with us, what's your vision? Like, what's up for Sarpy, for your corporation, your organization? What's up? You know, what's your vision for the next 10 years?
Yeah, if I could wave a magic wand, I'd love to go nationwide, because I think our patient-centered customer experience model could really fix a lot of what's wrong in the chiropractic world. I've got a lot of issues with the standard associate model, and I think we've got a different model to that. I think that should have been dead and buried probably when you graduated from practice. It just doesn't work. Yes. And I think, again, it comes back to that. I want patients to have an amazing experience. We may not be able to fix them and help them, but I want them to have an amazing experience. So if I could wave my magic wand, I'd love to eventually go nationwide and have this model that I'm not shy of. I don't think we have enough good chiropractors to treat everyone. We're not even close. Every man, woman, and child should get adjusted. So I don't see other chiropractors as competition, but I do think the ones who are doing a bad job, who are rude to their patients, who keep them waiting and disrespect them, I do think that they need more competition around them to make them either fix it up or go and do something else, but don't give chiropractic a bad name. So it's partly of just wanting to serve as many people as we can, but it's also, I really want chiropractic to clean up a lot of the errors we've been making for decades.
Yeah. And we do that by example, obviously, and that's what you're talking about, right? You know, yeah. And I love what you said. You know, the more we used to tell our associates, you know, they want to go start a practice, you know, just go across the parking lot.
Yeah.
I mean, great. We want more chiropractic. The more chiropractors are around here, they're, you know, the more that more the word's going to get out. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, you know, we always want to create that. But I love what you said. Like, you know, go next to the people. And either you're going to really help them level up is really what it's going to be. And yet I know you're doing it to serve people. It's not about the chiropractor, but it's about chiropractic. And that's what I love. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and as you said, it's an abundance mindset instead of scarcity. You're not scared of competition. The more good chiropractors you have, the more of a tsunami it creates, because more and more people hear about it and think, well, my neighbor and my mom and my friend and all these people are getting great results. I should try a chiropractor.
Right. So is your vision is to continue, like, do you already have new location? Yeah.
Ultimately, I'd love to have 8 to 10 around Omaha and then maybe explore other markets. And can we pull it off? I don't know. But that's the exciting thing about the entrepreneurial space. You have these big visions and you see if it'll work. And if not, you pivot.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing you just answered what I'm guessing would be the answer to my next question, which is, how do you keep that passion? How do you, like, is it because of that? Is it because of, like, the future and how you see just...
Yeah, I know some chiropractors who have been adjusting people for 40 years, and that's what they like. And I thought that was going to be me when I graduated. I said, I'm never going to not be a chiropractor. But I think because of my behavioral style and personality type, I always need something new, something challenging, but I've also always had big visions. And so, yeah, if someone explained to me, passion isn't being motivated, it's what are you willing to suffer for? Because there is no perfect job. We just talked about firing people. I hate doing that, but it has to be done. There's certain things I don't enjoy about even owning a business and having the freedom of my own schedule. But having big visions has always driven my passion and my want to keep going. Probably too far. Sometimes I can't dial it back and chill, but yeah, that for sure is what drives it for me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to tell you my crystal ball here is saying is, Ravi, I just see that you're going to be teaching chiropractors. That's what I see, because if we're really going to scale chiropractic, like level up chiropractic, you know, your knowledge of what you have and what you're creating, because it's not just you're not going to be on the stage just talking. You've done it and are doing it. And that's where I see part of this, at least some of it, whether you choose it or not, that's totally up to you. But I see that being a very strong point, because I'm so glad you're back at school, and I want to thank you, because you know what? Our students get to experience you. They get to experience your office. You know, you made that open for any students to come to the office, and as we grow more, and Omaha is going to have a lot more chiropractors as our school continues to grow, because people tend to stay in the area where they go to school, especially if a spouse gets a job or whatever. So you're going to have plenty of people to work with. I know that. But I just love to see that Omaha and the Nebraska area is going to get so much healthier. I love you, man. It's like, I love what you said. It was music to my ears. Just beautiful.
I took so many notes here, but without looking at my pad, I don't know if I'll be able to read them later. So I might have to reach back out to you, but I was trying to write without looking at the pad.
And you can listen to the tape, so you'll be able to hear it.
Yeah,
right?
I will.
All right, listen, we always end these Life by Life West with two different questions, right? And And they're innate responses. That's not like anything after, you know, the 30-second responses kind of thing. And just whatever innate is right for you, it can be different if I ask you in an hour. But I'm going to ask the first one today, Mary. So, and then I'll have you ask the second one. So the first question is this for you, Dr. Rodney White. If you could go back to 2002 or 2000, 1999, whenever you started school, right? And talk to yourself, Rodney White, first day of school. What advice would you give that Rodney?
I would say start consuming leadership and business books now instead of failing, tripping over your own mistakes for years and years and learning the hard way. Because I think if I understood culture and leadership from day one, I'd be so much further ahead.
Wow. Great answer.
Because otherwise everything else in school was, I mean, I had a great chiropractic school experience. We got great philosophy, great technique. I wouldn't change how I handled that. I just hated coming out and knowing nothing about communication and business.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. Love it. Mary, your question.
So same question, just different time frame. So now you're now a licensed chiropractor. You went through school. Now you're going to go back and talk to that Dr. Rodney. Now, what advice would you give them?
Probably this. Well, it depends. Have they taken the first advice? I'd say it's the
they
same
did.
Thing.
They did.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, because we come out of school and we're already like, you know, we know how to adjust people and we do that, but we don't know how to communicate because we think we have to be technical, all this lingo. And a patient doesn't care that their C5's gone to the right. Like, what right. Are you going to help me, right? So communication is the big one, but I would probably say then if I did follow that advice, I would go back and say, just trust the process. You're going to make lots of mistakes still, but they're going to be your best teachers, and just see the positives of those instead of getting stuck for the periods of time that we do as we're growing, right? Like, it's easy to look back and say, oh my gosh, that mistake was the best thing I ever did. But you don't think that in the moment. So that's probably what I'd tell myself.
Trust the process. I love
trust
that.
Trust the process.
I love that. Man, Rodney, you're awesome. And it was so great. I mean, this half hour flew by. I mean, it literally flew by. I know that Mary, you probably got about 50 questions, other questions.
I do.
So we'll get you back on. We'll get you back on another time. But I just want to thank you. Thanks for all you're doing in chiropractic, what you're doing in your state, because you're part of the state board. State Association Board. Thank you for your help at the college. Thank you for your financial support. Just thank you for everything, man. You just show up. And I think that's another part of success is showing up, right? You know, and it's really what it is. And I know you can be home with a newborn and yet you show up, and it's like, you know, it's incredible, you know, and you show up for the right reasons. I don't think you'd show up for not the right reasons. You'd rather be home. But thank you. And it was a pleasure having you on today. It was just great. And to our viewers, thank you. Thanks for coming at us, you know, day in and, you know, week in and week out, for listening to these and sharing these. I mean, I know that Mary, you're going to be re-listening to this because you got a bunch of notes that you wrote down. But just, you know, share this. There's people out there. I don't know one chiropractor out there who won't get something from what Dr. Rodney said today. So just share it, you know, and all you have to do is share the link. And I do appreciate that. We're growing in numbers of viewership. And it's not because of us or not because of Dr. Rodney. It's because of you guys just spreading the word. And so we certainly do appreciate that. And we drop these every other week. The opposite weeks, we drop a Life West Leadership Line. But we're going to continue to come at you as long as we get guests like Dr. Rodney and other people who are passionate, who are honest, who work with integrity, and can always deliver information that all of us can benefit from. So until we come at you, you know, next week, then I know for Dr. Rodney, Dr. Mary, and myself, we want to bid you adieu. We want you to always remember that you are more powerful than you were or I were ever led to believe, and that we have to keep spreading that message to people so that it gets out to every single person, that within them they got the ability to heal, and all they have to do is tap into that ability. And what chiropractic does is remove the interference to allow that ability to express itself. And it's who we are and what we do, and that's our DNA, and that's everyone. So thank you, and we will come at you next week. Dr. Rodney, thank you again for being with us. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Mary, I'll see you when I get home tonight for dinner. Bye, everybody. See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate. every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.